Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's so good to have your company on this Friday. And now is the best time of this show because we come together to pray. We pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet together. And each day I'm accompanied by a prayer warrior, somebody who gives up their valuable time to come into the studio or down the line to pray with me for you. So let's find out from Reed, who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio with us today, Kevin, is Archangel Radio sponsor, Miss Jenny Carr.
Yes,
Jenny,
I am.
Jenny, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
And you're solo today, I see.
Yes, I am. I know I've had wonderful friends with me recently, but I am here alone today, but I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, we're very grateful to have you here today, and I hope the month of June is blessing you in all sorts of unusual ways.
Well, I just got done telling Mike that this has been one of those weeks, so sort of starting out a little slow on that respect, but I'm working towards that. Which is why I'm here.
Well, I was going to say, that's why you've come to the right place. You've come to Archangel Radio. You've come to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And we will definitely pray for you and all your needs here. I hope you've come with a whole saddlebag full of intentions and people that we can pray for.
Oh, yes. Probably 20 decades full. So, yes.
Good. Well, that's what I like. That's what I like. But listen, if you're listening to Jenny and me this morning, there's still room for you. And you can call us on 888-928-0881. And we will take your call straight on air and pray for your intention, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be something huge or large or difficult. It can be anything you like. But similarly, if you would rather stay anonymous, you can text us on 251-928-2111. And we will take your text and pray for it together here live on air. Now, Jenny, I also want to, before I always forget at the end of our time together, to just thank you for being part of the Archangel Radio family.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It's such a privilege and just a blessing.
And if you're listening to Jenny's voice thinking, I know that voice from somewhere, you will have heard Jenny's voice many times on this radio station advertising various things. And Jenny is a valued sponsor for the network, and we are very, very grateful to have her support. Without it, this radio station would probably not be able to continue.
God's blessings.
God's blessings.
I love being a part of it, yes.
So, Jenny, I'm assuming you have brought your rosary beads with you, or you've got 10 fingers at least.
Oh, no, I have my beads.
Excellent.
And my fingers.
Well, the beads will do. The beads will do. So what I suggest is that we begin. And if anybody wants to contact us one last time, 251-928-2111. Okay. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Jenny, first decade is all yours. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap, bring back up a few intentions I've had over the last couple of times I've been here.
Sure.
We did get some follow-up on my dad, and there is definitely, you know, some early dementia, which we thought was going on, and then some other issues, some neuropathy with his feet, which kind of explains he, you know, had some difficulties walking. So I just want to continue to pray for some things that you said that were very helpful. I know for my mother, she's brought it up a lot, just the acceptance, and for him and for her, and for just, you know, having a path forward. He's really at peace with everything. I'm always impressed. I mean, he's a wonderful man. I've always had, I mean, he's just a great dad, great role model. And so that, and then Diane is healing.
Jenny, yeah, let's just, yeah, if you don't mind, we've got time.
We've got time.
Don't worry. And I think mums and dads are very, very special people. And while you have them, you got to cherish them. So let's really pray for your mum and dad now. Now, without wishing to break any confidences, Jenny, may I have the first names of your mum and dad?
Sure, Kathy and Terry.
Kathy and Terry. And, you know, everything you said there, you know, I mean, a lot of people listening to this will identify with, you know, I can hear it in your voice, you know, the slight concern about all of this, but also the great love that you have for your parents and they have for you. And let's pray that God's will be done in this situation, and that, as you've already hinted at, that there be a great sense of peace for everybody concerned, for Terry, for Kathy, and for Jenny today. That somehow they will understand that whatever happens comes from the hand of God. And sometimes it's difficult, but we have to try to see that at all times. But also let's give thanks, Jenny, because I can tell they're wonderful parents. You don't need to tell me that, because I've heard you and I've heard your testimony about how you live your life. So I know that they raised a very good child in Jenny. So let's give thanks for all that wonderful gift of family and love and all the joy and the happiness, as well as everything else that comes with family life. But there is that side of it, which is joyful and happy. Mm-hmm. And both my parents are long dead, Jenny. And you know what? The strangest thing, as the years go on, all I remember are the good times. All I remember is the joy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, yes.
Everything else starts to fade. So let's just rejoice in Jenny, Terry, and Kathy, and all your family today with them. And let's pray for the various illnesses and difficulties and challenges ahead, notwithstanding. But let's place them in the context of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and let's ask the divine mercy to come into this situation and to help you all and to give you all joy, mm-hmm, at the great love you've shared together.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. And Jenny, you know, the lines are open every single day, and we're happy to pray for everybody every day. So just bear that in mind as the months, weeks and months roll on. Okay, so we have a number of requests that have come in. I think we're going to pray next, though, for our guest. I don't know if you caught any of our interview with Jeremy Rivera. Jenny, he is a Catholic apologist. He's speaking at a particular event this weekend, the Heroic Men's Summit. And as you can imagine, with a title like that, it's all about the helping men to become better men and to become holier men. And it's something which I'm sure all our wives and all our sisters and all our mothers and grandmothers would be very, very grateful for, if we all became holier and better men. So, Jenny, let's pray for Jeremy. Let's pray for his mission. And he asked for prayers for his family, in particular his wife and children. So let's pray for him. Let's also pray for all our guests. This is the last show this week, so let's pray for everybody who's come on the show this week. We've had a wonderful array of guests from very different fields. We thank them for their contributions. And the one thing that I would pick up on is that they're all trying to make the world a better place through their faith in Christ. And I'm sure, Jenny, like me, that's something you can only applaud.
Oh, of course. Yes, I've noticed that this week as well. You had some very good segments. So.
Yeah. So let's pray for Jeremy and for the success of this men's conference, because good and holy men make for good and holy women and good and holy children, and the whole thing keeps rattling along.
Yes, of course.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. So for this third decade, I'm coming back to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for in this decade?
I have two agents this week that just, you know, have had kind of their own different types of struggles within their family. One suffering some losses, and another one just really kind of facing a lot of hurdles right now. And I just want to pray for them and just getting through these storms. You know, they're like family, friends, everything to Diane and I. And so I just wanted to offer up for Crystal and Kathy.
Yes. Crystal and Kathy, definitely pray for them. And we pray for all those you work with, Jenny. We pray for Diane in particular.
Yes.
But everybody you come into contact with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may be the only practicing Catholic they meet in their working day or in their working week. So you will be doing your own little apostolate in that direction as well. So we pray for that you'll be not only successful in business, but also a great witness to the truth of how to do business well, which is to do it according to our holy faith.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And is Diane well, may I ask?
Yes, that was going to be one of my next intentions.
Okay, let's hold that. Let's just pray for your work at the moment, Jenny.
Okay,
and for these, for your two agents, Crystal and Kathy, let's pray for them. Let's pray for everybody at work at the moment. I've had another request in from somebody who wants requesting prayers for everybody who's in a difficult work situation. And there are many, many people who go to work every morning with a heavy heart. And we pray for them that sometimes they're they're sacrificing their time, maybe with an awful boss or a job they don't like, but they're doing it for their family or because they need to earn money to pay the bills. So let's pray for everybody who's struggling in the workplace at the moment, and let's ask that the Holy Spirit will guide them in some way to make it bearable or better, depending on what the Holy Spirit suggests to them.
Yes, that's a great intention. Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Now, while we've been on air, we've had a text in from Robert Obermeyer. Robert, good morning to you. Robert, your name is familiar because I hear you also on some of the commercials here on Archangel Radio. So thank you, first of all, for your continued support for this network, enabling programs like this to happen and enabling this prayer to happen, essentially, because of people like you. So first of all, thank you very much, Robert, for that. Now, Robert's intention is very clear and very grave in a sense. Please pray for Shepherd Gaudet, an 8-year-old student at St. Pius X School who is in hospital with pancreatitis. Pray for him and his family during the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Thank you. Robert, we are delighted to pray for Shepherd at this time. Pray for his family. It must be a very worrying time for all concerned, an 8-year-old in hospital. I can't think what would be worse for his parents at this time. We pray for everybody else at St. Pius X School as well, all his friends and his teachers, who will doubtless be concerned about this young person's health as well. And Robert, we also pray for you and give thanks for your continued support for this station, and also pray that your business as well will continue to thrive, and through that you'll be able to support good causes like Archangel Radio.
Amen. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
8-year-old, that's a lot. So
yeah. Let's pray for Shepherd.
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Yes. And good to hear from you, Robert. Please do text us again. Okay, so this is the fifth and final decade. I shall come to you in a moment, Jenny, and please don't hold back. Load this one up as much as we can. Okay. But I've had a text in from our good friend, Dr. Amal, over in Belgium, and she is giving thanks for passing a Russian exam. Dr. Amal, she speaks, I think, 7 languages already, but she's now learning Russian. So we give thanks with you, Dr. Amal, for this wonderful Russian exam mom that you took. But she's also asking for prayers for Sophia and Luis, both of whom are taking exams in the coming days. And we will definitely pray for them and pray for any students at this time who are taking exams, but in particular, Sophia and Luis. And also, Amal, we're praying for your dear mother, Marguerite, giving thanks for her ongoing recovery. But we also pray that that will be a full and complete recovery of whatever is ailing her at this time. And we also pray for you, Amal, for any of your intentions at this time, and ask that you be blessed in many ways. Amal finishes it, Jenny, with asking that all of us learn this month to enthrone the Sacred Heart in our homes and in our hearts. And I think that's a beautiful prayer.
Yes, absolutely. I love getting updates and check-ins from her. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Do you hear that, Amal? So keep them coming.
Yes.
We love to hear from you in Belgium. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been neat to follow her story, and just she's involved in so much. So it's wonderful.
Absolutely. So, Jenny, who or what would you like us to pray for in this final decade?
Okay, so the download is, so Diane is healing very well. You know, she's a very driven person, so just having to, I think, sit and relax has been hard for her, you know, with the healing, but she's doing very, very well. And my friend Judy, same thing. You know, she's been dealing with some chronic pain and just trying to get some management for that. Just, you know, praying for, like you said, the students as I get my daughter ready for college. It's been very, you know, a little anxiety these last few weeks.
Sure.
Just trying to get everything lined up and straightened out for her. And then, of course, dealing with the, you know, the sadness I know I'm going to have. But she's going to do great. And I know that, you know, everyone will be praying for her. We will be praying for her, and she'll be taking that foundation with her. And I'll just miss her. So that's just part of it. But of course, and then all my children, of course. And then tonight is the Archangel dinner. So just, of course, praying for everybody involved in that. It'll be a beautiful dinner.
Yes, and thank you for reminding me of that, Jenny. We've been praying all week for that, the 14:10 dinner tonight, and we pray for a great success. Remind me the daughter who's leaving, her name?
Ella.
Ella, that's it,
yes.
Ella. So we pray for Ella, and we pray for all parents who ultimately have to let their children go. It's very, very difficult. I was listening to another parent this morning who was saying more or less the same thing, that and this parent, this child hasn't even gone, but she's anticipating it, and that's half the problem. So let's pray for Ella, and pray for you as well, Jenny, in that situation, that you'll be given the graces to understand this. Obviously, Our Lady had to even let Our Lord go, and that must have been extremely difficult for her too. Judy, we will pray for her healing, and I'm very happy to continue to pray for Judy's healing in the coming days and weeks, Jenny, so do keep us posted. And Diane, if you're listening, you know, you're just going to have to learn to relax. I've never had a problem relaxing. I don't know what the problem is here. You know, you just put your feet up and let it all flow by, but I know you're not like that. You're one of those people that gets things done, and I've met them, and I know them, and it's difficult, but we'll pray for you that somehow you will find peace and joy in just simply switching off and letting the Lord take over for a little bit, and letting Jenny run the show for a little bit. It's in good hands. It's in good hands, Diane. Don't worry. Okay, well, that's a wonderful list of things to pray for. Very quickly, I mean, we're praying in thanksgiving for Reed returning. Reed, is there anything else you'd like us to pray for?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for my little brother, who is also getting ready to go to college in the fall. And but my mom's used to it. She's already gotten rid of me and my sister, so
yeah. Hopefully this will be old hat by my next one, but yeah.
And then I also just want to pray that my trip to Hoover next week for the Alabama Broadcasting Association seminar goes well.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I'd forgotten. Yes, that's next week, so we pray for that. We keep losing you, whether it's because of Hoover courses or large wasps.
Mm-hmm.
We keep losing you, Reed, but we also pray that you will heal up. Can we just have the Christian name of your little brother so we can pray for him in particular?
Yes, Blake.
Blake. Okay, we'll pray for Blake. And it's a good anecdote, that one, Jenny, because it shows you that mothers get used to this. As painful as it may sound, mothers get used to this. So everybody will survive. Ella will still love you, and you will still love Ella, and all will be well. That's excellent. And yes, Reed, we'll be praying for you next week. Maybe next week you can drop in and give us little updates on your progress on the course as it runs along. Okay, so that leaves Mike. Mike, who or what would you like us to pray for?
Yes, I'd like to pray for all those in Catholic Radio. Pray for all of the priests who will be celebrating this Sunday, the Feast of Corpus Christi.
Yes.
And I'd like to pray for the church. And I'd also like to pray for my family, also my mom and dad, brother and sister, and for all my cousins as well. So, pray in thanksgiving for all that God has blessed me with, three healthy children. I'm a blessed man that I get to wake up every day and be in their presence. I was just looking at going through some old photos and of them when they were little, and just it's time goes fast, and I just pray that my kids will maintain that joy in their lives and know Christ, and pray for me and my wife, Jennifer, that we will show them the way, that my kids will develop a love for Christ and develop that joy and love for others.
Excellent. So I think, we'll pray for all of that, Mike, and pray for your family. And I think it's very important that, yes, you're right, we pray for priests with Corpus Christi coming up this weekend for so many of us. And so we pray for everybody in the Archangel family, everybody that works here, everybody who donates, everybody on the board. We pray for Michelle and for Ellen and for Todd and for Sherry and for Shannon. And we pray for you.
Yeah, thank you. One more thing. Just pray for my mental health.
Okay, we'll pray for that as well. And everybody's, but in particular yours, Mike, we'll offer that up to the Lord. Okay, and there's one anonymous intention which has come in from Catherine. She's texted the show, but she's asked for the intention to remain unspoken but prayed for. So listen, Catherine, you know who you are. You know what that intention is, and we include that amongst all these intentions that we're now praying in this final decade. And thank you very much for getting in touch, Catherine. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Jenny, thank you so much for coming in and praying with us, and I hope it's not too long before you're back.
No, it won't be. I will be back in a couple of weeks.
And give our very best to your dear parents and also to Ella.
I will. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. Okay, when we come back, we are continuing to look at the legacy of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, who came back from the dead, quite literally. Well, at least her body did. We'll be back straight after these words. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive to Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. The weekend has got even closer since this show started an hour and a half ago. You can almost touch Friday evening, when most people are relaxing or letting their hair down in one way or another. Now, we just had Jeremy Rivera, one of our guests, and there's obviously this Heroic Men Summit this weekend. So who better to ask about heroic men and their spirituality than Reed and Mike? Reed and Mike, what did you make of Jeremy and what he was saying about how to make Catholic men even better Catholic men?
Sorry about that, Kevin. Mike has actually stepped out just a moment. He's talking to Jenny for just a little bit.
Sure.
But, I thought that Mr. Rivera was very interesting. It's one of the things that you highlighted. I can't remember the name of the guest, but it was the other gentleman who was doing a men's conference. And
it was Don Donaldson.
Okay, yes.
Don on Monday. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And he was just talking about how young men want a bit of a challenge, like the world kind of is set out for us in the current world that we live in. It's a little bit conquered in a sense. So one of the ways that we can really get young men to buy into being Catholic is to present it as a challenge and something that is worth pursuit of, even though, you know, it's not a walk in the park.
That's right. And that's something I think, Reed, you've alluded to a number of times in our discussions around this, that young men in particular need to feel that it's a challenge, that they're being offered something which is going to take something from them, right?
Certainly. I mean, throughout all time, you know, we're living in unprecedented times. I'm sure everybody who listens to Archangel Radio already knows that. But throughout the past, there's always been some, you know, way for just adventurous young men. As long as it's all a moral thing, it's all a good thing to go adventure and discover the world and learn more. And that's really not something that we have access to. We can sure read about it on Wikipedia. You can read about anything in the world on Wikipedia, but not really having access to discovering much of the world, things like that. And relating to Catholicism, I mean, it is a challenge. You are kind of going to be putting a target on your back in 2023, especially as a young person.
That's true. But it was always like a bit like that, Reed. I mean, even as a young person 40 years ago, I mean, there was a target on your back. I mean, so it doesn't really change. I mean, sometimes the issues are a bit different, but it's never been easy to be a disciple. I mean, if we look back at the early Christians and how much they were martyred and persecuted and calumnied by the population. So it's never easy to be a Christian. It's never easy to be a follower of Christ. But at the end of the day, there's not much else. And it's a great joy to suffer for the Lord. I mean, the scriptures tell us that there is a great joy in it. It somehow brings us closer to Christ. And that's the great paradox, which is something which the world can never understand.
Yes.
So listen, I think in which case, if anybody's interested, check out heroicmenssummit.com. If you go and have a look at that, this is an online conference this weekend. Jeremy is speaking at it. Does any men listening to this curious about what we're talking about? Now's the moment maybe just to start to dip your toe into those waters. And all Reed and I would say, and Mike as well, yes, is come in. The water's nice. It's good being a disciple of Christ, and it's very good being a male disciple of Christ. There you are, Mike. What would you say? How would you best make Catholic men even better? How would you evangelize the men around you?
That's a good question. I would just the best way, Kevin, is through your actions. Mm-hmm. There's a saying that Alabama football coach, Coach Saban, always says, you know, your actions speak so loud, I can barely hear what you're saying.
That's a really good quote.
So that's the best really way is to be examples, because to be examples of Christ's joy, because then people are intrigued. And I recently wrote in my newsletter about there's a softball team here in the States, Oklahoma, that just won their third national championship in a row, won 52 games straight. That's a really hard thing to do. That's quite an accomplishment. And anyway, there was an ESPN sports reporter who was asking the one of the softball members, players, how are you able to do this? How are you able to win all these games? And she said, and her answer really astonished me. She said, it's the joy we have in Christ. That regardless of the outcome doesn't change our circumstance in Christ. Our joy comes from the Lord. Win or lose, our joy comes from the Lord. It's for glorifying Him. All our eyes are on Christ. And shouldn't it be that way? We have that problem. You know, we get so competitive, so focused on the scoreboard, that we lose sight of what it's all for, who it's all for. We forget who we're playing for. We're not playing for us. Yeah, we play for each other, play for our team. It's a team effort. But at the end of the day, we're all trying to glorify Christ.
Yeah.
And you know, win or lose, that's all you're doing it for.
Amen. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful insight. Okay, listen, we better go story time. Yes, welcome back to Storytime here on Archangel Radio. I think there's a story in that story that Mike was recounting about that wonderful sports team that has won so many, won their championship in such style, and they put it all down to the joy of Christ. That's amazing. But it also fits with a little bit of what this story is about, because this story is still about Sister Wilhelmina. Yes, Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster, that's the nun out in Missouri. I will tell you the story again in a moment, but there's something going on in the United States. And maybe because I'm over here in Europe, I see it more clearly than maybe you can living there in the United States. Sometimes I hear people from the States when they're in Europe saying Europe is so much more at peace, so much more less confrontational than the United States around politics, around the social, around the public square, about the debates about this, that, and the other. We all know those debates. And sometimes Americans that I meet over this side tend to see Europe as so much more at peace and so much more at ease and so much more able to deal with these. Well, I can tell you that is not the case. It's sometimes that the debates are just not happening, which is not the case in the United States. But there's another side to the United States which you could overlook if you're living over there. And that's the great witness that so many people are giving in the United States, not just to their fellow Americans, but to those of us around the world. And the other thing which is really strange and coming to my attention more and more each day is just how vibrant the church is in the United States. Now, before you switch off thinking, that's garbage, no, I'm talking about a vibrant church. And what is the church? The church is you and me. The church is the little old lady you're sitting beside in the pew. It's the priest on the altar. It's the person who goes and helps the sick person. It's the person that helps out of the food bank or goes and checks on their neighbors. It's the nurse, it's the doctor, it's the teacher. But it's also, as we've heard this week, it's the musician. It's the person who's a marketeer. It's the person who's running a men's conference. It's the person involved in the Eucharistic revival, which is beginning to take off in the United States. There is something afoot in the United States. There is something happening. That I am absolutely certain of. And the recent events, which we've been talking about for most of this week, which happened in Missouri, are really only, if you like, further proof that mysterious things are happening. Sometimes they're mysterious, sometimes they're supernatural. Sometimes they're so mysterious and supernatural that we miss them. But sometime God intervenes in our lives with something which is truly miraculous, and we have to sit up and pay attention. And there is an element of that in Sister Wilhelmina and her coming back from the grave. Now, this story has been running for nearly a month, coming up to a month, maybe 3 weeks. But I came across a television report. Now, this television report is not EWTN, who have been covering the story very, very closely and continue to, and no doubt will continue to do. This was from a Kansas City television station, right? So just your ordinary secular television station. And they ran this story yesterday. I'm just going to play you a little clip of it. Reed, I wonder if we can play audio file one.
Yes, here it comes, Kevin.
Thousands of people flocked to the small town of Gower, Missouri over the last few weeks. Many went to witness the miracle of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. She was buried 4 years ago and exhumed last month with her remains intact. To Catholics, this signifies holiness and gives witness to the truth of Christ's resurrection.
So, who was Sister Wilhelmina, and what is her legacy? Our reporter Gian Kim went back to the monastery to learn more about her life and her lasting contributions.
Within these walls of the Abbey lives on the spirit and legacy of Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster.
She was and is an ambassador of peace.
Sister Wilhelmina was a lifelong philanthropist, patriot, and a devout child of God.
She loved keeping people happy.
Dedicating much of her life to teaching inner city youth and advocating for the civil rights movement. Her family started the first black Catholic high school founded west of the Mississippi River.
She came from a segregated world. She joined a black community, and then she founded an interracial one, which I think is very, very remarkable. We come from all over, literally all over the world.
While she had a great propensity for progress, she also deeply valued tradition. In 1995, at 70 years old, Sister Wilhelmina started a new order in Scranton, Pennsylvania. She brought back traditional Latin Mass and encouraged the sisters to wear their habits again.
Sister Emanuela and myself were actually the first two to join and stay.
Then in 2006, the sisters felt a calling from God to move their community to Gower, Missouri. This piece of land was donated to them, and the monastery as it is seen today was established.
She really latched on to that idea, just being right in the heart of the country. And of course, being a Missourian herself, this was She was going back to her old stomping ground, and she was just thrilled about that.
Sister Wilhelmina is the first African-American whose body was found incorrupt in the eyes of the Catholic Church. The sisters believe even in death, their foundress continues to promote her lifelong teachings of peace.
But now we have Sister Wilhelmina as a sign of unity and charity. Just looking at her legacy here, that she's always pointing to us to transcend what divides us.
Gian Kim, KISS HB 41 News.
Thank you, Reid. So there you have it. The secular media, that's not EWTN, folks, that's the secular media, are still talking about Sister Wilhelmina. And I have to say that that report was very even-handed. It was very fair. It was very good in some ways. But here's the question I want to ask you. Imagine if you're sitting watching that and you are not a Catholic. Imagine if you're sitting watching that and you're not a believer of any sort. You don't even believe in Christianity. What would you make of this? Let's think about what this secular news broadcaster is saying. Sister Wilhelmina, they described her as a true child of God. Wonderful. We've got a secular media talking about a true child of God. We're talking about her, Sister Wilhelmina, as the sort of example of unity and charity, transcending our differences. Now, I don't know about you, but each country needs that. But at the moment, America, just think about what Mike Church was talking about on Monday, about the political race that's about to happen, the presidential race. And you could hear from what Mike was saying about the various divisions. Divisions not just across the country between liberal and conservative or wherever, but also within the parties, within the Republican parties, within the Democrats. And yet we've got this woman who has suddenly appeared who seems to be offering us a different message, one of unity, charity, and transcending difference. And this is a woman, remember, who lived it. Do you remember we talked about her childhood in segregated United States and how she had to run through white neighborhoods because of the treatment she received there? But also she was at school where she was the only Catholic girl and she had to put up with all sorts of abuse from some of her Protestant and non-Catholic friends because she belonged to the Catholic Church. And she held no animosity towards these. And then we see her in a religious order where she was also a point of derision. Do you remember? They made fun of her because she wanted to stay faithful. Faithful to her vows, faithful to what she perceived as essentials in religious life, not least wearing the habit. This is a very curious incident that this woman has suddenly popped up and has made the news headlines, not just in the United States, but right around the world. And it's happening in the month of June, the month dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and also to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Now, we talked this week about the Sacred Heart and about humility. And humility is honesty, it's truth. And from a very early age, this young woman, this girl and then young woman knew that she wanted to be a nun. She knew the truth of God's calling in her life. But she was also faithful. Just like the Immaculate Heart of Mary, she was really faithful to God's calling throughout her life, no matter how difficult it was, no matter how painful it was. But she was also brave. Remember we talked about how at 70, this woman decided to set out into the deep and create a new monastery. Which leads me to the business of the incorruptibility, because I came across a news item just the other day. It was a British news item, and it was okay. It was pretty good up until about the last couple of paragraphs. And then they decided to bring in somebody from a university in the northwest of the United States who basically said that incorrupt bodies were pretty normal. Happens all the time, they said. Really? They did say that if you leave a body for a few months, it's probably incorruptible. Even a few years, they suggested. I'm not so sure. I think they were clutching at straws. I mean, they're also forgetting the fact that, for example, we have Padre Pio. He's been dead well over 50 years. His body's still incorruptible. Or what about St. Bernadette? That's 150 years at least, if not more, and she's still incorrupt. And we could go back to the Curé d'Ars and other people, St. Vincent de Paul. And on it goes. So, but I don't think we need to get hung up on the incorruptibility. I think that's just the divine hook. That's just the way in which the media have suddenly got interested. Think about it. If Sister Wilhelmina's body had not been incorrupt, and she'd just been a wonderful, faithful servant to the Lord, you and me and everybody else, we would never have heard of her. But somehow in God's wisdom, at this moment in the United States, God is speaking through this particular incident. Now, I'm not making any claims for Sister Wilhelmina. I'm not prejudging any of the judgments of the church. Obviously, you know that. But there is something happening. There is something mysterious afoot. But as I say, think about the people we have spoken to this week. Take Mark Nowakowski. Do you remember what he said about the Catholic musical renaissance that's taking place across the United States? I'll give you a direct quote from Mark. He said there was an abundance of riches, an embarrassment of riches. And what is that music linked to? Very much linked to the liturgy. Very much linked to the Holy Mass. And it just so happens that at this moment in time, there is a very much a Eucharistic revival taking place, beginning to take place across the United States. We've had people on the show talking about that, about new pilgrim routes across the United States. This is very good. Now, this week we have talked about some of the not so good things happening in the United States. People who are flirtating or who are playing with fire when it comes to the culture of death. And we're not going to relate them. You know who they are. But let's not get blinded to the very good things that are happening right in our midst. And also let us always remember that God is God. And as St. Paul said during the week, and we talked about this, God will not be mocked. And what God tends to do is, as Our Lady said at the Magnificat, he tends to drag down the powerful from their thrones and to exalt the lowly. And Sister Wilhelmina, I would suggest, is one of those lowly. What she also is, to some extent at least, is also one of the Beatitudes. The meek shall inherit the earth. So, this month, when there's so much pride and vanity, and we've looked at that through the week, let's also rejoice in the humility and the modesty that is all around us too, more so. And this is the thing, it's more powerful than any of the pride or vanity that comes our way. So, we pray that good will come out of this situation with Sister Wilhelmina, and we pray that her soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
It's been great having you back, Kevin.
It's been great being back, and it's good having you back as well, Reed. I hope you're going to stay clear of those wasps this weekend.
Oh, well, not for long. They're probably in Hoover, so I'm headed up there. Maybe I can get away with them now that I think of it. Maybe I can get away from them, I mean.
I'm going to ask the patron saint of bees to keep you safe until get back amongst us.
Well, what we have Bill Murphy you mentioned on Monday?
That's right. We got Bill Murphy who's coming to tell us about all the latest news in UFOs, UAPs, and everything in between. He will also give us the update on this latest whistleblower. Is he really a whistleblower? Or is he playing the wrong tune? We'll find out on Monday.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people talking about that on social media, so I'm excited to hear more.
Yeah, you stay tuned in while you're in Hoover. Listen, if you've enjoyed being with us, we've enjoyed being with you. Thanks to Reed, thanks to Mike, thanks to Michelle and Ellen and Todd and everybody else here, Sherry, and everybody else at Archangel Radio for making this program possible. But thanks most of all for you for listening this week, and let's do it all again next week. Until then, let's keep each other in prayer, and let's ask St. Joseph to watch over you and your families and bring us all safely into the next week. Until then, may God bless you and keep you.